You're listening to UK Health Radio, where health means more than the absence of illness. Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show. I'm Hillary Burns, and each week we explore honest conversations about life, health, and whole person well-being through real stories of resilience, healing, and human connection. This is the Getting Real with Hillary show on UK Health Radio.
Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show. And today we have a very special guest. We have Shani Madaminova. She's an author, a healer, a CEO, a mother of three, and a wife with an incredible story. So I will let Shani tell it to you. Welcome, Shani.
Hi, Hillary. Thanks for having me. Thank you, everyone, for watching.
Yay. And Shani and I met, I think we met in spiritual mastery, right? Okay. Yeah. So that's how we met. I said something about my show and she contacted me and here she is. Little did I know what a powerful story she has. And the beginning of Shani's book just grabs you and you're like, what? Do you want to tell that story? And then if they want to get the rest from CEO to healer, your book. What do you think?
Yeah.
Aaron.
Yeah. So the whole reason of me writing this book is actually I've been pushed to do this. I am a very, very private person. I am a CEO of many healthcare companies based out of New Jersey. Just happened to be that I had a life event, near-death experience in Paris, and just happened to be that I was able, you know, I survived, so I was given a second chance. So since this happened, you know, everything had changed in my life, everything. I mean, my whole perception of life, perception of the way I look at things, to work, the business itself, to people, the family dynamics, everything had changed dramatically. And I guess that's why I've been pushed to write this book.
Before all that, I know you were, I don't know if you were a workaholic, but you worked really, really, really hard, long days. You know, you came here from what country?
From Uzbekistan. I came here when I was 19.
Okay.
Two suitcases, and I landed at JFK, and I was a student studying, you know, I was studying for law enforcement, to be in law enforcement, actually. I did work for the city, and, you know, just happened to be that coming to United States with no English at the age of 19, and getting into healthcare with no medical degree, with no medical background experience, leaving the law enforcement position to actually open my own company and to start from very, very small office, which is like 300 square feet, very small business in New Jersey. And everything just took off. Everything just unraveled there. So obviously I did hit a lot of obstacles, and there were lots of hurdles, it's like constant going down, down, down. When you hit, usually this is what happens when you go into business. And I was never giving up. I always had faith that no matter what, that I will make it. So I always had faith since I was a kid. So, and I knew
Great.
That.
Can we just tell them the part of who picked you up at the airport when you were 19?
Oh, so I came here. Yeah, that's the funniest moment. When I came here, I was 19 years old, so I didn't speak the language. And my dad is a truck driver, and he had a friend, colleague, who was a truck driver as well. He just called him up, said, listen, I don't know where you're going to go with no English, with no apartment, where you're going to stay. And I had a school to go to. He's like, I'm going to call my friend, and I'm going to ask him to find you a place. So instead of his friend, he sends his son to meet me at the airport, at JFK Airport, who then later, the same son who met me at the airport actually is my husband. So we've been together for 26 years now.
Now, was he also from, I don't know how, Uzbekistan?
Yes, right. he was from Uzbekistan, correct, yeah. But they came here much earlier than I did, so.
So where were you going to college without being able to speak English when you got here?
I was in Colombia taking their, it's like a student exchange program or something, so where you learn the language, the English.
Oh.
And for 2 years I've been studying English. I loved it. I mean, I fell in love with this country.
I mean, so you weren't supposed to stay originally. You just came.
Originally, no. And then here, my husband, he starts pulling me. So he never let me go.
Oh, my God. That's so curious.
To go back. But then, yeah, I stayed. I really, you know.
And where did you?
Love too, right?
Yeah, no, I think it's awesome. Where did you stay? Like that first day with.
Oh, I stayed at home. And then within a week, I found an apartment. And
you went to Columbia. You were going to Columbia.
Went to Columbia University, correct. They have a very strong English program. And it was, yeah.
Wow.
It was a very good program, yeah.
Now, you were also working at the hair salon, right?
Yeah, later on, I was working part-time, you know, I was already over 20. And then my husband, I mean, back then, he was my boyfriend, I would say. He would be like, go to work. Like, why are you not working? I was like, I'm in Uzbekistan. It's a third world country. So usually women, they stay home with the kids and a family, having family. And here I am like, what do you mean work? You have to work. I have to work? Oh, he goes, yes, this is what people do. And I was like surprised because no one in my family actually, no females, they actually work. Everybody stays home and take care of the kids. And I was like, I don't know how to do that. So one day he takes me to Manhattan. He goes, go get dressed. We're going to go to Manhattan. Here I am. I was so happy. You know, I hop in the car. I dressed up as a very nice, like purple, beautiful capris and nice top. And I go to Manhattan. So he opens the door in the front, right in the Midtown. Opens the door, he goes, get out. I was like, here? He's like, yeah, get out. So I get out. I thought he's going to go to park the car. I got out. He goes, now what? He goes, go look for a job.
Oh, my God.
And I was like.
And he left you?
He goes, just walk in and say, I'm looking for a job.
So you went, so is that where you found the salon?
No, that was my first job. Actually, no, what I'm saying is the first encounter of my job that I had to actually work was in a restaurant. I was working as a hostess.
Oh, okay.
And walking to this Chinese restaurant. And I say exactly the same word, what he says. I am looking for a job. They looked at me. They're like, you hire. I was surprised how fast I was hired.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I come out, he looks at me, he goes, so? I was like, I got a job. I have to start on Monday. He was in shock himself. So, yeah.
Wow. Wow. Okay. All right. So you went to school, you stayed, you ended up moving north. Well, you worked at the hair salon. They loved you. You helped their business thrive, right? And then why were you moving upstate for your husband?
My husband back then, he bought a townhouse in upstate New York. Okay. So New York was very expensive. And then he graduated from college. And then I was working actually in a salon back then. And then we moved there. And it was, you know, I was traveling back and forth from my room. It was like 1 hour, 40 minutes just on the train to get to the city. So it was a very, very tough commute. So I commuted about 5 years, maybe.
5 years? Every day?
Every day. Because I was in college in the city and I was running the salon, the spas in the city. So then I was pregnant with my first child and I told it was very tough to commute. Yeah. And I told my boss back then, I said, listen, I can't do it anymore. I said, it's so tough, especially the baby's pushing on your bladder to be traveling back and forth. I was like, I can't. I said, I'm so sorry. I you know, it's time for me to move on. And he goes, no, I'll open up a salon for you in upstate. Believe it or not, he did open, and the salon was flourishing. I mean, we're the first one who actually brought the service that was not available in upstate New York. So, and we were just doing great.
Wow. Okay.
He did not want to let me go, my boss.
That's amazing, right? He'll just open up a salon for you. Okay. And then some of your, I don't know, relatives said, hey, come to New Jersey because you could start this healthcare business, right? Was that
my husband, a former friend, he opened his agency and home healthcare agency. And then he goes, why don't you come and start doing this? Well, I was like, listen, I'm not a nurse. I don't have any background, medical background. And, you know, I only had idea. I know how to open like a hair salon now because I was already managing, right? But I did not know anything about healthcare. And he goes, no, it's okay. You don't need to know anything. You're just going to be the owner. I was like, really? And then when I remember when we decided to go, my husband asked me, you think you could do it? And I never forget, my heart was freezing, honestly. I mean, yeah. I could not even, I did not show it to my husband back then, but he goes, well, if dog can be trained, I'm pretty sure I can be trained too. So that's what my answer.
And how old were you? How old were you at that point?
I was 27.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And how many kids did you have by then?
It was my second child when started when we launched. And also, then I started commuting this way. So it was 83 miles in the car from state New York to Jersey constantly, every day. So that was tough. So I did that for 2 years. And then I had I remember walking with this breast pump machine. Because you have to, you know, be a mother. I mean, you can't stop being a mother. You cannot be a wife. And then you run the business. And that's on top of it. So I was wearing different hats every day. I was the business that I was launching, because we could not even afford an employee.
Oh,
it was everything. So I was an HR. I was a coordinator. I was a marketer. I was the payroll department, authorizations department, billing department. I mean, you know, to the point, whenever I had to go out to do marketing, I would just put a sign out for marketing. If something, please call. And then this calls will come to my cell phone. So I had to walk from senior housing to senior housings, to nursing homes, to doctors, to discharge hospitals. I mean, it was tough, you know, to grow the business like any business, but it takes lots of sacrifice, resilience, patience, faith. Most of all is faith, because there were days that were tough. Like, you know, I wanted to cry, you know, there were days that I would be sleeping in my office because the commute was 3 hours back way, because to get out of the city and drive, it was 3 hours each way. So it was very tough. But that only my faith kept me going. And I knew that as long as I put my energy and effort into this business, it will flourish. And I truly believed in it. And I still do in everything that you do. As long as you put your love and energy into it, it will come back to you. And that's how it works.
And now I think we could take our commercial break. And then when we come back, we'll get the rest of the story. All right.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong? I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity. Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
All right. All right. So from there, you know, the business grew. I know you said one woman gave you her hardest cases to see if you could do it.
Yeah. There was one case manager. I remember Marie. She was like very strict, very professional woman. And she had this whole, it's a case management, it's a not-for-profit organization. And I remember I did the presentation in front of all case managers. And imagine, all case managers, either they work for the state or they work for non-for-profit agencies. Oh. And I remember there were like 30 of them. And I brought breakfast. While they were eating breakfast, I had to present. And as soon as I come out, I lost my voice. I was like, my heart started racing because I knew presenting in front of so many people. And plus, these people, you know, I'm an immigrant, right? I came here when I was 19, and these people were born Americans, right? I was like, oh my God, now they're going to judge me. So all this sabotage, right? So I started self-sabotaging. Yeah. So I was like, I'm not worthy enough to be in front of these people. I have the accent. I don't look the same. I don't sound the same. And then all this, all of a sudden, it hits you, right? And then you become so small in front of them. The fear kicks in. So I lost my voice and I started shaking. My hands started shaking, were shaking. And then they're like, Shani, you can do it. Speak. And they started clapping.
Oh.
So deep breath in and out. I was like, and I started like, hi, my name is Shani. And, you know, and I started talking about my company. And I remember Marie said, I give you one case. If you can prove they could do it, you could do it, I'll give you more. So, and I remember she gave me the case. This is the smallest case that any agency actually, like in the reality, will take. Okay. It was 4 hours a week. So 2 hours one day, 2 hours another day. So it's, to be honest, the income you will probably get, I don't know, maybe like $10, right? But for me, it was not about money, correct, at this time. For me, it was to prove them that I can actually take on difficult cases and to be able to serve these difficult cases. And then it was in a very hard-to-serve area. And I took the case and she was happy. She was, oh, my God, I love her. I love her team. I love the way the business. She's very professional. And after that, you know, she started calling, oh, the case worked out for me. So refer. So everybody started referring afterwards. So yeah, Marie got kind of, she gave me that, that one case, that hard to serve case actually, I was able to show her that.
Wow. And then how many years until it like started making money, like that you got out of the debt?
Oh, yeah. I started working fast, the very first year, actually half year, we hit big number already, cause I started operating with my permits, half of the, in 6 months, I guess in July, I started first. And for 6 months, we hit that number 100. And I was like, oh my God, I hit 100 patients. I was so happy. That was my happiest moment of my life because I've set my goal.
Yeah.
I always set goal higher, like 150, and I hit 100. And I was still satisfied with that. And I just gave pat on myself. I was like, good job. You did.
You needed 100 people taking care of those people, or did some do more than one? mean, that's a lot of people to be managing.
So for example, one caregiver can take up to two, three cases.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So, but I was able to hit that 100 clients and I was so happy with that. And then we started growing because I was in a very small office, 300 square feet. So literally, I mean, the bathroom was smaller than in an airplane bathroom. It was so small, you could not even move. But we could only afford that much, right? And then in the business, you have to constantly keep the cash flow going backwards because if you're growing, you cannot take any cash out. So my very first salary, I remember, I wrote a check to myself, $1,000 after 4 years in business.
Healing. Wow.
So imagine we did not take anything for ourselves, like my husband or like, you know, so my husband was constantly put, you know, we were putting back all the money. It was constantly there because we're growing. So that money was eating up. So constantly growing. Then I started expanding. So from
Did you ever move to New Jersey so you didn't have the commute?
I mean, yes. After 2 years of my commute, I said, I can't do it no more because my baby was, you remember I said, when I opened it, I was pregnant. So she was an infant and then she was 2 years old. I said, listen, the nanny was raising. I said, I'm not seeing my kids. I leave at 7 a.m. I come back at 11:30 at night.
Ugh.
Because, and then your baby's sleeping constantly, you know, right. Here I'm just pumping and then, the nanny will only give her the, so I said, I I'm not seeing our kids. Our kids are growing up without us. I said, let's just, you know, rent an apartment in New Jersey, which we did. And we lived in a rented apartment in New Jersey while on weekends we would go to our house. And then at the end, we just sold the house and we just bought the house in New Jersey because it was tough anyways.
Yeah.
We all knew that we're going to be in New Jersey because the job was in New Jersey anyways. So we moved to New Jersey. But we had expanded our, since I was in a very small office in Jersey City, 300 square feet. Then we started expanding. And to this day, now we have like in total, like 11 home healthcare branches in the state, across the state.
All in New Jersey. Wow.
So we were able to cover the whole, Jersey area. And right now we service veterans, U.S. Navy SEALs, all the, U.S. Army families, Department of Developmental Disabilities, all the members there, state Medicaid. I mean, we've been servicing autistic, Down syndrome children, from pediatric to geriatric. So we accept all the cases. We never say no to any patient. Does not matter what background, what language, what religion, we just accept them all.
And how many caregivers do you have?
Thousands. Because we had to capture,
Wow. So I guess your husband was happy that he didn't make you stop, right?
Yeah, now he is, I've been blessed with this. So I'm forever grateful for this chance that God has given me. And that's why that expansion constantly was happening. I was going to tell you about that. I guess I was expanding to other services, not just home health care. You know, we're in social and medical adult daycare centers. And, but I thought maybe by opening all these ventures, it's going to make me happy in everything that, if I only open this in a healthcare facility, then I'll be happy, then I'll stop. And it never ends. And it's constantly, I notice that it's constant. Like, I get it, I do it, I make it successful. You know, I build a business, I create it, I make it successful. And then you feel like, now I made a success. Now what? So it's constant. You have this constant internally desire that you're searching for something and you couldn't understand. And then I understood that it's not the whatever I was building, right, creating, what was not making me happy at the end.
Mm.
So, and one day in 2022, when it in Paris, when it happened in Paris, that near-death experience, when I reconsidered the whole life, how I look at things, and I started asking questions: why God gave me a second chance, where people, where women usually would be dead. Like usually you die, whatever I had, usually you die in a matter of minutes, up to 4 hours. And here I am alive. And I'm like, how am I still alive? And I, you start asking questions and then everything start. You stop searching, you stop chasing. Because I was chasing, I guess, for success, for money, for things that I thought, tangible things that I thought that would make me happy. And after that event, I realized, no, it was not. Whatever I was thinking, it was the wrong mindset that I had. Mm. And
Johnny, let's we got to take our commercial break and then we'll be right back. So remember that thought. Writing it down, mindset, and we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Yeah. And Shani is a brand new sponsor, so yay, Shani. All right, we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And thank you, as always, to our sponsors. You saw their commercials and you see their logos going on underneath Shani and I. So thank you again for making this show possible. And now we're going to continue our amazing conversation with Shani. So can we tell them what happened in Paris, or would you want them to read the book?
I had an ectopic pregnancy.
Yes.
And it just happened to be, and I was misdiagnosed with a severe food poisoning, which nearly killed me. So when you usually, during ectopic pregnancy, obviously you lose the child. And at the same time, internal bleeding starts happening.
Did you know you were pregnant?
I knew. But I know, because I'm a mother of three, and I never even thought in my life that I had an ectopic pregnancy, honestly.
Right.
So I thought that I had an appendicitis back then, and I was like, maybe I have appendicitis. But the French doctor said, no, it's a severe food poisoning. So, but now I understand that it had to happen. He had to say it this way because I had to come to New Jersey to get operated. Otherwise, I think I would have been dead in Paris.
Oh, okay. So you lasted, but normally someone lasts, what, at the most 4 hours? You lasted how many days?
3 days.
3 days.
I could not already walk. So that night when it happened, the next morning, I already couldn't walk. I mean, in the midnight, I already couldn't walk. Because what happens when you have internal bleeding, everything, you can't walk anymore. You become paralyzed. So, and my husband was surprised, like, what kind of food poisoning is that you came out even walk? They had to dress him and my son had to dress me up, put me in a wheelchair. I had to learn how to walk again after surgery because for my
How did they operate? Like, what did they do to save you?
They just, because when the whole blood from everywhere just collects into one place, right? Yeah. So from I mean, I did not even have veins. So they had to do so much transfusion. When I came in, I remember as soon as we flew in, since we are in healthcare, my husband had contacted from the plane, could you please, to our one of our nurses, could you please come and give her IV? She has food poisoning. And when we got there, he was already there. And he asked, he goes, by any chance, is she pregnant? And my husband says, yes. He goes, oh my God, she has ectopic pregnancy. Call 911 now. So 911 came in, they took me. And when I got there, I remember my doctor was there because it was his turn. Imagine, even if my doctor was there, my OBGYN who actually delivered my third child. He goes, Shani, if I don't operate right now, you'll die in 20 minutes. No blood anymore. So I remember they brought this big, like four big, like, I don't know what you call it, bags or whatever it is, like of blood. And they were looking where to put because I did not have veins. So they're like, you have no blood. We need to operate. So usually they had to cut you open, clean out all the blood, and then they have to give you blood fast. So yeah, when I woke up, I don't remember what happened because when I got there, I was already out. I was unconscious. I don't even remember. And then I woke up, I think, the fourth day in the hospital. And I remember when I opened my eyes, doctors started coming in. They're like, miracle, miracle. And I'm like, why is he saying that? And then when I read up about it, because I already knew now that I don't have food poisoning, but I have ectopic pregnancy, I started reading and I was like, wow, I cannot believe that, you know, first of all, I was misdiagnosed. Second of all, that I'm alive. I did not know how serious it was, you know. And then I started thinking, you know, God, you know, what's the reason you saved me when all women die? Mm-hmm. So I started asking questions, you know, what's my purpose in life? I'm pretty sure, you know, if you saved me, it wasn't for me to continue running my businesses. So the whole view on everything had changed. So I started studying on, like I said, I could not walk before, right? So I had to learn how to heal myself, to start learning how to walk, you know. And
why is that? Because when you
lose blood, yeah, you don't have blood to control your muscles. I'm not sure. Like, yeah, you cannot stand up even. First of all, you cannot even get up.
For how long? Yeah, for how long could you not walk?
I started walking maybe a couple of months after because I was walking. They would make me walk on a walker holding on because you have no strength. So your legs start shaking because no strength. Yeah, so you had to, because you have to get your hemoglobin up to be able to walk. So I had very low hemoglobin, so that's why.
Okay. So when did you start thinking there was something that you were supposed to do next? Like, when did that get clear to you?
after, I started asking questions, I started Googling, I was like always tired, low energy. And I was like, how do I recuperate my energy? You know, like, for example, if you're losing hair, you will like, what do you take mm-hmm. for entire loss of hair or something like that, right? You Google and search. So I started like low energy. How do I gain back my energy? How do I recuperate? And then like energy healer is coming out. I was like, energy healer? What's energy healer? So I was like, and I started looking into it. I was like, what's energy? I did not know anything about energy. I was like, what is it for me? So, little by little, I started, when I started typing energy, this Dr. Joe Dispenza comes up a lot. Mm. And I'm like, who is this guy? So it's meditation. I'm like, meditation? What's meditation? I started learning what's meditation. You have to breathe. And every time I breathe, I would fall asleep. I was like, what kind of exercise is this? I could not come up because I'm a very hyper person.
Yeah.
So at the beginning, I would always fall asleep. I could never do any breathing because as women, mostly women, for some reason, we have this shallow breathing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where we breathe with our chest. Actually, yeah. Men breathe properly. They breathe through their diaphragm and guess they put their belly. That's the proper breathing. So I had to learn how to do that. I'm going to tell you, it took time. I've been practicing energy only for a year and a half. So I became a healer just only recently, I believe, as of March of last year.
Wow.
So yeah, it was a long journey, but I learned everything about healing, how to self-heal, how to be able to, where you don't have to go to doctors, you know, like I don't go to doctors anymore, where you heal yourself. I mean, anything, you heal anything.
How?
By breathing techniques, this is what I show in my program, right? So obviously breathing is part of it. Releasing is a part of it. It's a lot of things that you need to do, but these tools are available to you and it's your tools that you do. And all I do is I teach people how to utilize their own tools that like, they already been given by God that we forgot to use. And we depend on doctors and medications to do that. Well, how did people before, how did they heal before? They didn't have any doctors back then. They could not afford any doctors back then. They did not have any medications back then. All of a sudden, now we all completely, trust all the doctors. And I could tell you that and when you learn about yourself, about your body, you could be your own doctor. Obviously, I'm not saying don't go to doctors. What I'm saying, this could be as an addition to the doctors. Maybe you're not going to go to doctors where you're going to stop taking meds. I was on heavy medications before myself. I don't take any meds.
So, okay. So you started with Joe Dispenza and you started breathing. And then what did you do after that? Like, how did you learn this? How did you learn all this?
So the Dr. Joe Dispenza's meditations are free online on YouTube. That's what I started doing every morning. Sometimes I would do 3 times a day, which you don't need to. Then I found that you don't need to. Then now you're going to become like meditation junkie. You don't want to be that.
Yeah.
I read about that too. So, yeah. But first you have to learn how to meditate to be able to get into that state. All right, there are different state of level of minds where you have to get to specific one. When you meditate, you learn how to heal yourself during the meditation. You know how to manifest things during the meditations. So meditation is a very, very powerful tool. And once you learn how to become one and when you become aligned with all your energy centers that we have here, mm-hmm. that's when you actually become aligned and full and complete as a person, as a whole. Because right now we are we forgot how to do it, like as people, since, you know, we listen to other people's ideas, to society, that they tell us how to live, how to work, how to survive, how to sustain. When you learn how to meditate and when you learn about yourself and about your body, you don't need those external validations. You actually know exactly what to do. Because what happens is once you align, you actually know what's, and you know your purpose, you already have a clear directions why you actually came into this world.
So shani.me, is that your website?
Shani.me, yeah, www.shani.me. And the Instagram is shinerise.us.
Okay. And then, And then, so how would they find out about your course? On your website? Is that how?
Yeah, it's going to post it. So as long as they follow me on Instagram, Instagram, we will post when the launch is happening. And the website will have most of the, that's where they will log in, and the portal will be there for the program that I'm about to launch. And it's actually global. It's worldwide. I'm going to make it in different languages. Okay. Because so, I do people who are who wants from other countries.
Great. All right. And in the last minute, what is your vision? If this all took off, or like, what's your vision for the world?
This is what I want, right? So me personally, I was able to achieve this highest frequency that I was searching for and to find out my purpose, which I did. And I would like to help people to break out from that survival mode where they constantly battling and trying to survive, trying to stay afloat in life. And for them to be able to live in the most peaceful peaceful and whole, I guess, being whole, completed life, where they actually they are happy, they live harmonious, peaceful life with a purpose. The goal for this program that I also created is for them to find that purpose in life. When we don't need to have all the money in the world to be happy. We just need to find it in ourselves to be happy with whatever we have already. So this is my goal for people. I can teach you to do that because I went through it myself. I lived it and I experienced it. And if I can help even one person to change their life, to be happy, to be peaceful, to live in harmony with what they have, and to be able to self-heal, I think that will be the most I guess, dream that I could accomplish in this life. And I truly believe this is what I've been sent here to do it, to spread my love, the love to people so they could spread the love. It goes like a ripple effect. So this is my dream. Wow. And my purpose.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for doing it, even though you were scared, and for being out here and, you know, taking the guidance.
Thank you, Hillary. Thank you so much for this opportunity to be in your podcast. And I appreciate you. And I hope, you know, this interview will help everyone.
Yes. Thank you. All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Shani, check her out. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Getting Real with Hillary show on UK Health Radio. If today's conversation resonated with you, take a moment to reflect, share, or simply be with what you heard. Until next time, this is Hillary Burns, inviting you to stay curious, stay connected, and keep getting real.